And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards. Stephen.
Yes, my blood test is fine, baby, I promise.
Chaos. And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is Season 3, Episode 13, or total episodes, Episode 60, just about to come out of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop in Kayleen, I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm the Gov.
I'm the Duke.
I'm Canberra's favourite fighting journalist, Caden Ellis.
Filling in again. I honestly thought last week Payos was away for 1 week. I'm sitting at home Saturday night about 9 o'clock. I get a Snapchat. It's Payos in Ho Chi Minh City tearing it up. And I'm like, are you back Monday? No.
I didn't even know he was away last week, let alone two episodes.
We've started without him.
I thought he was away for another. I thought he was back, but no. So a quick text into Caden from the Canberra Times, and he's popped in again. And boys, you will notice he's wearing a fantastic rugby league jersey tonight.
Oh,
look at that.
Henny Penny Knights jersey. That's about 88.
88.
Yeah, 88, 89. Yeah. And Henny Penny is a chicken shop up in Newcastle.
When you're
growing up. Yeah, still there. When you were growing up at high school, everyone called it Hairy Fanny. Because that's what you do in Newcastle. You get some Hairy Fanny.
That's the
guts.
80s, man.
That's what it's all about.
Not anymore.
I did find it funny, though. They sponsored the Knights, but they had a Blocker burger. So they actually had a burger named after Steve Roach while they were sponsoring the
Blocker
Knights.
Blocker was my hero as a kid.
Mine too.
That was like the first book my mum ever, my adult book that ever got me was his biography, and I got him to sign it.
Yeah, right.
I think it was back in... at the Hyperdome or something. Like, I was a kid.
You guys are old.
Back in the day, yeah. We are.
Yes, we are.
We certainly are.
Dear me, Benny, you started your new job today, man. How'd that go?
Yeah, so far so good, man. Could be working with about 15 kids directly.
Yeah, nice.
As a youth worker at one of the high schools here in the Berra. Couldn't be closer to home. It's about a 50-minute drive each way. So.
Nice.
Southside, baby.
Yeah.
Southside.
Ironically, it's where my missus went to high school.
Yeah, right.
About 2 years ago. No, she's on. Just kidding. But no, it was great. Awesome first day. And yeah, looking forward to getting into it, having a day job and something that I'm really going to get a lot out of it. So
yeah,
I'm really
nice,
looking forward
nice.
To it. Yeah.
Duke, you look like you've had a big weekend, son.
I'll vouch for that. I saw him red hot.
Just caught up with beers with mates. Stirred up Benny when he was at Mr. Wolf.
Beers with, what is it? Beers with peers or whatever?
I just had a catch up last
over
night.
A quiet game of backgammon.
And I'm hurting.
Yeah.
Every time I'd walk past him, he's with these with his group of hangers on.
Yeah.
And he just gives me the finger, goes, F you. And he whispers something like, oh, I'd smash that guy or something. And they're like looking at me and looking at him like,
F you, Edwards.
And then he comes up to me. Yeah, I was just, sorry.
Sorry,
I was just talking.
Just having a show,
I respect you, man.
Caden, how's life at the Times, mate?
Oh, mate, can't complain. There's plenty happening all the time. The Raiders are cooked, though, so it's going to start slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, we've got a good listener question about that obviously came out of the Canberra game.
How about that? Like, that's been pretty bloody mainstream.
It has been. I mean, at the end of the day, you look at the first half, Canberra were probably their own worst enemy in that game, but the decisions at the end did cost them any chance, but they gave themselves a hard task to get there.
The basics are you got a slow-mo replay and they still mess it up, right?
Yeah.
Or he's half a metre from the sideline and puts his flag up.
Yeah, well, I don't
know.
What's
going on,
man? We'll talk about, I think it's just about
corruption, man. The fix is in, man.
It's just about getting the KFC sponsorship up on the video screen.
Well, do they have a quota they have
to
hit every game, right? Surely.
I don't know if it'd be a quota for every game, but it'd be a season quota.
If it's like that, they should just go to the, even if you're pretty sure, like you're 90, even if you're prepared to blow a try straight up, you should get your quotas out then and just say, let's just check it and go to the video.
No, they try to move away from that because people were getting the shits.
Yeah, slowing the game.
What do they got now, though?
Yeah, well,
severe
need
diarrhea.
They just need to get rid of it and put KFC on the referees' jumpers or something. I don't know what they need to do. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Talk and takedowns. Of course, Caden will do his own version of Stevie's segment, minus the STDs and, of course, Biffarama.
It's always, less woggy.
It's always going to be a good night when you two start discussing 3 seconds before we hit the cord button going, are you going to talk about this one? Are you going to talk about that
one?
Well,
usually Duke steals my segment. But tonight, full credit to him, he's actually done a bit of work himself.
I didn't steal. I can talk about whatever I want. It's my segment. So it's not stealing yours. It's me choosing the topics. That
you were looking at my notes, man. But tonight it's all right. He's got his own subjects to talk about.
Yeah, tonight we've got some. So,
I'll cover the one interesting fight from the weekend.
So Ben will cover the UFC and I'll cover that. There's a few other things coming up around in other big fight promotions around the world. So I've got a few things to talk about.
Cool. We'll get to all that. We're going to kick it off this week with a brand new single for The Living End. I love The Living End. Their last album was Pants, though. It was recorded. Terrible. I don't know what they were trying to do with it, but it was probably one of their worst albums.
What does Pants mean, terrible?
Oh, I don't know, Ben. It's just it's like Dirk's underpants, like skitty underpants. I don't know. Because
if something's the ants' pants, it's awesome.
Well, it wasn't the ants' pants. But that's just my opinion, and opinions are like arseholes, as we know. But this new one, Don't Lose It, is the first single off the new album, and it's fantastic. And even better is the film clip for this. If you haven't seen it, it's got cameos in it from Jimmy Barnes, Matty Johns, Phil Jamieson from Grinspoon, Daryl Braithwaite, Molly Meldrum, a heap of people, and they're taking the piss out of shows like Australia's Got Talent, and they're all coming out, and The Living End play the judges. It's really, really funny. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out online, but we'll kick off the podcast this week. Season 3, episode 13 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop. Here's The Living End.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Get to the point, man.
To Talking Takedowns.
You took yourself down on the weekend. you seem to be a little bit down, actually.
He's got 17 bags under his eyes. Look at him.
He had, I'm not going to say it.
edit that out. Yeah, so there was a few things coming up around the globe. The first thing I want to cover was ONE FC. They're doing a fight show this Friday. And
ONE FC is based in Singapore.
ONE FC is based in Singapore. They're the biggest promotion in Asia. And a lot of people are saying they're selling out stadiums all around, sort of like it's growing to the point where, you know, it might be a good alternative for the – because right now you've got Bellator and UFC. Fighters, you know, if we find one that builds, especially a few Aussie guys and then Joshy Tonner just fought on there as well, actually, from Stockholm.
And what was that? That was kickboxing in an MMA gloves.
Yeah, kickboxing MMA gloves.
That was
gloves.
An awesome fight.
In an MMA cage as well. Yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah. And even for the MMA, they got different rules. It's no elbows, but you can soccer kick, so you can kick him in the head on the ground. It's like pride rules. So it's weird, huh? You can't elbow someone.
But you can kick
them
while
they're down. You can kick a field goal off their head. Yeah. Off the ground. And how good's that?
And it's rising drug testing over there too. So
really?
Yeah.
So you can take all the gear and they've got no idea.
They just said, we're in so many small countries, we don't trust their testing, so we're just not going to test anyone.
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent. Brock Lesnar's going to sign with him.
Brock and John Jones. They would. But that's headlined by Martin Nugent, who's he's an Aussie. He fought for Brace and won two, and he's got two titles in ONE FC.
Yep.
But also the one I'm excited about, Henzo Gracie's coming back to fight Yuki Kondo from Japan.
Oh, that's a throwback.
At a welterweight fight. So that's
what do they both be a combined age of, like, nearly 100?
Who is Yuki Kondo?
Yuki Kondo's been around. I've heard that name for ages, man. He's been fighting for about 20 plus years, I reckon.
It's pretty. Henzo Gracie, he'd be 40 years old, wouldn't he?
Oh, plus. And then some. He'd be closer to 50, maybe on the other side of it.
For those that don't know, Henzo Gracie was a real pioneer in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's got an academy in New York. I know a lot of the guys go there, and they reckon he's just an absolute...
Jimmy O'Brien trained there.
Yeah.
Loved what relation is he to Hoist?
They're all cousins. They're like Islanders, man. They're all cousins, man.
Everyone's a cousin.
But Henzo's probably like my favourite Gracie personality-wise. He's like a legit funny guy and a tough as hell dude too, man. Okay. He's
some
really
guy tried to mug him, so he filmed him bashing him up.
Yeah, yeah. And then he tweeted it before it was going to happen. Like, this guy's following me. And there was another thing. He was getting interviewed. It was one of his cousins fighting in Pride. Hmm. And he's got some great stories, man. And he's walking around in his knee brace. And Bus Rutten interviewed him. He goes, what happened to your knee? He goes, you know what? This is my Portuguese accent.
Yep.
I was having a big night at home. He lives in New York, and he's like, I got into a fight, and when I shot him for the takedown, I broke my knee, but I still got the choke.
You sound like Scottish meets
that's
Guatemalan
Portuguese. That's
something.
What Portuguese is,
that's
man.
Good.
That's how he sounds. Like. Google him. He's got some awesome stories. Yeah. He's a really funny dude.
And also on that card, Gary Tonin, who's a jiu-jitsu ace.
Is he Henzo's protege or John Danaher's?
Yeah, he's one of them.
Yeah, he trains out of Henzo's academy.
So he's
under John Danaher.
Former world champion jiu-jitsu. In Brazilian jiu-jitsu
he's like one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world. Legit right now, right?
So,
and his last MMA fight, he looked awesome. His hands, like, he's done his, like, everyone knows, like, he's, don't want to go to the ground with this dude. He's like legit one of the best in the world.
Yeah, right.
And his hands in his MMA debut, he looked awesome.
Yeah, he looked great. So, and to make your debut in ONE FC, like, you know, that's sort of just getting thrown to the wolves
straight in.
Yeah. So that'll be an exciting one. And that's I'm pretty sure you can get it's sort of free streaming on ONE their app. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, so. Have a look, or it might be $5 or something. But the other one I'm excited about that's coming up, I just had my notes here. 2 seconds.
Technology. He's been battling with his phone for 30 seconds.
Does anyone know my passcode?
He's just checking to see if his Instagram verified. Yeah.
Anyone sliding into your DMs?
Slide into your DMs. Yeah. Bellator are doing a welterweight Grand Prix, and it's going to be pretty awesome. There's some big names in there. The champion Douglas Lim is in there. I don't understand why they. Douglas Lim is in there. The champion Rory McDonald's in there. Yeah. I don't understand why.
Who
are
they going to fight at the end?
Well,
is he? He's just looking to be the champ.
I think he's
the
just looking for fights. There's a few other guys. Michael Venom Page is in there, and they reckon he might be fighting Paul Daly first up.
Yeah, two excellent.
That's
strikers.
A grudge match too.
Paul Daly is just a straight up Pommy banger.
Yeah, we've talked about him on the podcast before. Yeah. He got fired from the UFC for punching a bloke after the bell.
Yeah, Josh Koscheck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I do remember you talking about that. Cool. Yeah.
So that'll be good. And
Venom Page, he's got that real everyone always uses references Anderson Silva, but that's his sort of style. Just super athletic, crazy timing, and just unorthodox knockout skills, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be an exciting one. And there's a lot of good stuff coming over there. You know, I like having an alternative to the UFC.
Absolutely.
And especially right now, like, it's sort of like, it's nice to have a bit of flair. So
yeah, and tournaments are fun, man. It's hard, like, with the tournament, to not get an injury and have everyone stay in the tournament. But if you can get it to keep together, man, they're so much fun.
One of the best tournaments that they've did was Strikeforce did a heavyweight Grand Prix.
Yep.
And Daniel Cormier came in as a reserve, as an alternate.
Because of an injury
and won the whole thing.
Yeah,
nice.
You know? Yeah. So it just goes to show, you know, these things are pretty high level because, I mean, if he's winning them, I enjoy that. Right. Yeah. So I enjoy watching those, and hopefully we'll be able to watch. It's like every round, so there'll be one fight on the show, and then a
few months later.
So they really drag it out. I mean, it's not like the old Pride one night tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah. Three fights in one night, you come out all messed up. Probably jab a Stanozol backstage. Stanozol, does that work? Is that a good one?
I don't know.
What am I looking at you, Scott?
I don't know.
Caden, Stanozol. Anyway, yeah, so that's the sort of stuff. And Ben's going to cover the UFC.
Yeah.
And while I've got the mic in Talking Takedowns, don't forget that we're in a grappling competition this Saturday, me and Ben. Ben's
here in town.
I'm more worried about wearing bloody skins than I am about the tournament.
Most self-conscious bloke I've ever met in my life.
Skins aren't flattering. They make me look fat, man.
Just double skins. I told you, double skins.
Yeah, it just makes it tighter. Yeah, cuts off the blood supply.
20 kilos of spuds in a 15 kilo bag.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so it'll be pretty good. That'll be my first one at brown belt, and Benny will be
getting my blue belt.
He keeps trying to talk. I've got to talk to my linear black belt, Daniel Kelly, and we're not sure yet. We're still in.
If I win the tournament, can I get a blue belt?
I'm not giving you a blue belt on the thing.
Just throw it from the crowd.
Hey Ben,
catch Duke. Teach me how to do it up.
What was it, Mr. Miyagi said? Belts just put it are on only good for holding.
I told
up
him.
Pants,
that's right.
Remember?
That's Bruce Lee.
If you can take a few blokes down, I'll give you a yellow belt in judo. There you go.
Can I take him down with a punch?
Well, you can, but you'll be disqualified.
I learned the other day, Duke taught me this pretty cool takedown. And I'm like, can you send me the name of it? And he sent it to me in Japanese.
It was Sasai Sura Kamigashi, yeah.
Was that video of you getting flipped? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we're going to have that one. The reason I showed that one was because it's a low risk. So
if you mess it up, you're not in a bad spot.
If you mess it up, actually, you're in a better spot. So it's a good one. Anyway, yeah, that's enough for Talking Takedowns for this week.
This podcast is recorded in a studio that's surrounded by three pubs. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my heart just stopped. There it goes.
Give yourself an uppercut podcast.
Well, last week, Benny, we did a great live read for our wonderful sponsors, The Butcher Shop at KLM. We're going to have some exciting news about The Butcher Shop in coming weeks. Can't say too much about it yet, but it is exciting. How did your Cattleman's Cutlet that was the size of Steve Payos's head go? Because you said it was pretty large.
That's a fair
After being led astray, I'm going to just clear things up for a few people right now.
Mm.
If you're cooking red meat, it's 25 minutes on 180. We Googled it. There was 25 different answers came up for how long.
That's what I told you. Nah, 20 to 25 minutes on 180.
Edit that out. And if it's chicken, it's 30 to 35 minutes. But anyway, we got it. My first Cattleman's Cut I've ever had. It was awesome. Fell off the bone.
Did you cook it properly?
I cooked it properly.
Did you pan it first, then in the oven?
I did. I did smart sear man. It. Yep. Yep. Chucked it in.
Smart man.
And then slid off the good bits for me and the missus and gave the bone to mum because I didn't want her to feel left out.
You gave even, the bone yeah. from your cattle.
Well, she'd already had
here
dinner.
You go, mum.
She'd already had dinner.
Nor
so
on
I just,
this.
have some marrow.
What is going on over in that house?
She'd already had dinner. I offered if she wanted some. But anyway, it was sensational.
That's weird.
What's the news, man?
Give me
visual signals.
I can't do it.
Hold
visually.
It up on a piece of paper and I won't give it up.
No, I'll tell you when we press the button that stops recording because you just, are just an open book
blink.
And you'll ruin it.
Blink,
you
know? Edwards, we don't tell you
secrets. They're already in a new shop.
We don't tell you secrets.
Someone trapped in the well, Skippy. Sorry.
We don't tell Ben secrets because he's
No, we don't.
Because he puts them on air.
I'm the vault and the open book.
We don't tell Ben secrets.
If I think it's important...
He'll tell Caden.
It'll be in the Canberra Times. You
know, hey, if I think it's important, I'll hang on to it. If I think everyone should know, everyone's going to know me.
Very, very nice. I got a Wagyu on Friday, cooked it Saturday
night.
Yeah,
it looked awesome.
Oh, my God.
How big was it?
That wasn't that big. It just looked big from that photo because that was a small skillet. But it still took me 2 meals to eat it. But, oh, my God, just in a pan with butter, garlic and fresh rosemary.
Yeah. That's how Rogan does it, man.
Man, it was... Yeah, but he cooks deer. He goes out and shoots it with a bow and then cooks
anything that used to be alive.
Yep, that's it. And that's what it's all about. Canberra's best meat. Cabana is back in stock too, but I will warn you, if you do go and have the butcher shop Cabana, it is addictive as heroin, that stuff. So...
Really?
It's good stuff. It's a pull.
So you,
probably be better for you.
You know heroin?
I've heard heroin is very addictive.
Okay.
I hear good things.
I used to live in Sydney, man. I work near the Cross. I've seen what heroin does to people. Cabana is the same. It's just got pork, cheese and chilli in it and it's bloody addictive as. So they've got that back on the shelf at the butcher shop. So go and get it down your neck. Kayleen Plaza, and we'll have some exciting news about the butcher shop in coming weeks.
Don't do heroin.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop Kayleen. You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve and Duke. Don't ask us how it works, just be glad it does.
Well, boys, Payos isn't here, so I'm talking soccer this week, but bear with me, okay?
Righto, Benny, let's go.
Okay.
So this is a top five and soccer, my two favourite things.
Yeah, I know. But this is quite interesting. You've heard the story about Australian soccer, especially the Central Coast Mariners looking to sign Usain Bolt. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I did see that on the news.
Yeah, it's all over the news at the moment. A lot of people going, oh, this will be a disgrace, blah, blah. I think it's fantastic.
I remember the NRL was looking at some English fella who was this mad sprinter. This is years ago when I was a kid looking at signing him. And he ran like a 9.7 hundred meters and they were...
Well, the Knights.
That
the
was
Knights
seriously
years ago,
pursuing that. Caden, it was all over the news.
Do you remember the Greg Smith story? Yeah, the Knights signed a guy who came out who was a sprinter but apparently played NFL. I think he watched an NFL game and for some reason at the time he got into a first grade game at the Knights and he was fucking terrible.
Yeah, someone didn't do their research. And as soon as they did, he was out the door.
Did you see that footage from... You would have seen it for sure back in the sevens a couple of years ago. There was lightning guy. Who was he? I can't remember who he played for.
Played for the USA. He played for the USA.
His last name's Isles.
He
just got a ball and was gone.
Yeah.
And had a sidestep on him too.
Yeah.
Not just a straight line.
Those gridiron guys, I mean, the guys that just miss the calf.
They're still super athletes.
They're super,
They're freaks.
I mean,
they're looking
Bolt,
stealing more.
Everyone's going, oh, but he can't play soccer. But you know what? I don't care. If he signs, and the reported fee is $900,000 for about six games, right? $900,000 for six games. That's it. And do you know what? I'd watch every single one of them. Yeah. Because even if he is the worst soccer player in the world,
that'd be awesome.
Watch it.
You'd get more ratings if he was terrible.
No one cares about the A-League. No one cares about the Mariners. The Mariners suck.
That's
get
right.
him in.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be awesome. So I did a bit of research on him and looked at it. The fastest he ever ran the 100 was in Berlin a few years back. It was 9.58 seconds.
And he cruised the last 20 meters.
Yeah, that's right. 9.58
seconds. He was looking
seconds.
At himself on the just mirror. Like, he was pretty much
walking
flexing.
Through.
Yeah. Unbelievable. He's got like a 3 meter stride.
Sure, if you've got a ball in front of your feet, that's going to slow you down significantly. But 9.5 seconds, it's not a long time to cover 100 meters, is it? So what else could you do in that time? I'm glad you asked.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
We're all thinking
I got a laugh out of Edwards already.
I'm just thinking sex. I'm just thinking my first time.
Man. Oh, you lasted that long.
I broke my penis, but the first time I actually came.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Here What's happening? There we go.
We're here now.
Here we go. Old open
you
book say Edwards.
Bolt to Ben coming. Yeah, great.
The top five things you could do in the 9.58 seconds it took Usain Bolt to run 100 metres. Number five, you could sit with Raiders coach Ricky Stewart and see how many times a professional spits the dummy. So I reckon it'd be several.
That's a straight up fact. Ricky was he's
spitting
straight
truth
on.
Bombs.
I mean, do you know what? I reckon Ricky was quite good the other night compared to how he has been in the past.
He was
incredibly
too many fines.
Like people expecting more. They're like,
I'm sick of giving these jokes 50 grand.
They set up a GoFundMe for him. They did. There was a GoFundMe set up before the end of the game for him. And Ladbrokes, any head-to-head bets that were placed on the Raiders, they refunded them. Ladbrokes really? Refunded yeah. anyone that bet head-to-head on the Raiders. Yep. Because
wow.
they knew it was
Ricky,
such a farce.
Wow.
Ricky knows how to play this game. He's been fined about $125,000. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he'd wise up eventually.
I can't believe Ladbrokes did that.
Yeah, they did.
Isn't Duke's going against Sportsbet or something? Because they won't give you your money or something?
Oh, when I bet on Benny, it was uni bet. No, I got it.
You got your cash?
We got the cash.
Going to Bali.
Because you bet on Ben and then you put a heap on...
on Cormier. Put the house on Cormier.
Always bet on fat.
Yeah. literally bought flights to Bali with it.
Passenger 57.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Number four, you can head to AC Nielsen and count the popularity votes for Labor leader Bill Shorten twice.
What's AC Nielsen?
It's the mob that do all the surveys, political surveys, Benny. Oh, see, look at this. I was not only there. Funny, Ben, yeah. but you're learning.
Not even funny, but I'm learning.
And Ben just had a stone look.
I was just watching him to see the reaction. It was just confusion.
Number three, you could have a lengthy sunbaking session with Harry Potter star Rupert Grint.
That's a redhead joke. That is funny.
I assumed he was the redhead.
Yes, Ben. That's a good one. That's mate. Ron Weasley.
That's a good one.
Yeah, fantastic.
Did he root?
Bright red hair must be Emma Weasley.
Watson. Yeah. In the movie, he went out with Emma Watson. Yes.
Not in real life.
No. Yeah, maybe. Not at all.
No. Still
real to
far
me.
Too
damn
good
it.
For him.
Number two, discuss with Kanye West what he knows about any other topic other than Kanye West.
Yeah, he's not.
Explain that one to me, Duke.
He's an idiot.
Oh, okay.
He's a narcissistic fuckstain is what he is. And there's the drum roll. I'm very happy about this top five. Number one in the top five things you could do in the 9.58 seconds it took Usain Bolt to run 100 metres, go through Steve Payos's phone and see how many nudes he gets sent. And the answer, 47.
47.
In 9.58 seconds.
I just love how Scotty tells a joke and just stares at me like, this is the one. This is the one Ben's going to laugh at.
You know what? I've said it before and I'll say it again. Fuck you,
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen. And now, with the Macedonian Love God, it's time.
No. Stop that. He's over playing Good Morning Vietnam. Let's get stuck into this. It's whatever Caden decides to call his segment from the Canberra Times. Take it away, son.
The vast payosless planet of sport endeavour. Well, look, I know we're supposed to leave the biff to you blokes, but I'm going to kick off with something that was a bit of a fight-related thing going on in the world of rugby union over the past week. Two childhood friends, two Melbourne Rebels teammates,
this
one
was
of them
serious.
Was
yeah.
fearing for his life. So basically, Lopetti Tamani from the Rebels, he claims his childhood friend and Rebels teammate Amanaki Mafi repeatedly bashed him and threw him into a car, bundled him into a car alongside his older brother because he swore in front of their sister. And he was literally fearing for his life. And yeah, so
if you've seen the guy's face, he's just black eyes, two black eyes.
Can't see out of his eyes. And like, it's crazy. And he was fearing for his life. He fled the house after this all started to kick off. And then he was chased down the street, dragged into a car. Then he was escaped the car at traffic lights and hid behind a bush. And then eventually found his way back to the team hotel. So
bloody hell.
Jesus.
Yeah, so
it's one hell of a trip.
All happening. Yeah. Childhood friends. It's
how old
bizarre.
Are they now?
Both in their 20s, but...
Yeah,
I wonder if they were drinking.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Can I be the guy that asked the hard questions?
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
What's the nationality?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at. Sometimes the Polynesians get a bit angry on the grog.
And sometimes... It's true. So do... Where are they from?
Tonga or Samoa or something
So they are Polly.
Yeah, Polly.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what, Tamani?
No, I thought they might have been
Tamani
like
and Amanaki Mafi.
Or something, I don't know. Oh, okay.
They're Polly boys.
Apologies to our Polynesian friends. Mate. If you know, get on the Facebook and let us know for sure. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, wow.
That's a big knuckle, isn't
that's
it?
That's crazy.
And yeah. The world of rugby league, we sort of touched on a little bit.
So hang on, I need a bit of closure.
All right, come on.
What's going on there? The cops involved? Is there charges being laid?
Yeah, charges being laid. And
they're both playing first grade.
Well,
they were.
Melbourne Rebels teammates, yeah.
And they were away playing footy.
Yeah, they were in New Zealand. I think Murphy's supposed to go to Europe somewhere to take up a contract over there, so that could be in serious jeopardy.
I think it's Japan.
Japan, yeah.
Which is seriously, they're strict over there.
You know all about that. We discussed that a couple of weeks ago.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
pretty I remember the closest thing I ever heard to that story was, I won't say his name, but it was a really, I got along really well with him, but before he came to the Raiders, he was playing for another team, and one of his mates had slept with his wife years before he got with him and was paying him out on a team bus under a game, and he flatline knocked him out. And he got cut from the team, and then that's how he ended up coming to the Raiders. I'm like, man, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, just sit back and put that in there. Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, no, was she good?
No,
yeah.
It's all good, she. Dogs. Dogs. Anyway, Raiders absolutely cooked. Now we've pretty much known it for a little while that they had no chance of making the finals, but now it's all but official. After what transpired on the weekend, Sione Katoa from the Sharks waltzes over, scores a try. A touch judge's flag goes up. The ref's whistle goes in his mouth. He does not blow the whistle. The Raiders
all stop, yeah.
And what else are you supposed to do? You see a flag go up, whistle go in a mouth. You're like, all right.
Big stuff.
You play to the whistle.
You learn that.
But if you see the flag go up.
But the whistles wasn't blown though. But you're right. But you do.
If you see the flag go up.
You can't blame him if the flag goes up. But geez.
Yeah, so it goes up as a no try and then it's overturned pretty bizarrely. And now Ricky Stewart says the $1 million bunker is a waste of time. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Mm. But pretty dire straits for the Green Machine. Pretty frustrating way for their season.
Is there any – that's 100%.
No, they can.
Mathematically possible, but –
It's the old mathematical thing again.
So they're fucked.
Their last six games, they've got six teams that are all ranked above them. They're really going to struggle, and to make things worse, Joey Leilua threw a brilliant cutout ball, 20-meter cutout ball to Brad Abbey, and it was backwards, at worst flat, ruled forward, and that pretty much killed the comeback and effectively ended their season on the spot. So that's it for the Green Machine, unfortunately.
Yeah, wow.
So it's all.
Hasn't been a good year for Canberra footy with the Brumbies and the Raiders. Been pretty ordinary season.
Brumbies go like a busted. The Raiders are cooked.
Well, I did hear a fact. The Raiders have lost like six games. There was like four games by 1 point they've lost, two or three games by 2 points,
and
two games by less than a try. Had they have won even three quarters of those, they would be leading the comp.
So
that's been the way the last couple of years. They lost a lot of games by 2 points. So it seems like in those tussles,
that can be soul destroying.
They just don't have
so
what it is to get over the line. Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like people blowing up about this Sharks game, it didn't cost them the season. It just ended it.
Yeah,
the start of their season ended their season.
Yeah, like,
you know the interesting thing is that their team's not that dramatically different to the one that nearly won the comp a couple of
two years ago.
It's not so bizarre. They've just fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, so it's a strange.
I think with so many close calls gone the wrong way, as I just said, man, they can kill your confidence.
Psychological. I think.
Yeah, that's true. It gets to that point late in games, and you're like, well, we've bottled this 38 times before. What's going to change this week?
Exactly. So. Right.
And now only two wins separate first and eighth, and it looks like the Raiders are three wins behind eighth. So
a lot of upsets on the weekend.
Yeah, there's plenty. So it's
West Tigers.
Yeah,
Mighty Tigers roaring into the finals if they can get there. But again, they'll probably be in the same boat as the Green Machine, fall just short.
Broncos pump.
Hopefully the Knights will pump them in about 2 weeks.
Fingers crossed. I saw after the Knights won on the weekend, the commentators are like, oh, the Knights are alive. And I was just like,
No, I don't think we are. We're 6 points off eighth.
We're the exact same as where the Raiders are, and everyone's writing them off.
Yeah.
So, a little bit else to finish off. AFL's pretty hard to predict at the moment. Richmond looking like they might be able to go back-to-back this year. No one is really looking like challenging them at the moment. West Coast are pretty cooked without Nick Natanui, and as a Fremantle fan, I'm quite happy about that. And GWS are coming up pretty hot, 6-1 in their last seven. So, they might surprise a few people, and we're going to touch on Ben's favourite sport just one more time.
Soccer. Yeah, was it a nil or draw?
It was. Tim Cahill's officially retired from international soccer, so big career for him. One of the greatest Australians ever produced, four World Cups, scored at three of them. And so hats off to him. And one final thing in the world of soccer, Germany, Mesut Özil. He's got Turkish heritage today.
Yeah, I read this.
Yeah, so he got a photo with the Turkish president or something like that, and all these German fans were basically racially taunting him online and all this sort of stuff, and he was like, well, you know what? I'm always the scapegoat when we're losing. Germany obviously had a pretty bad World Cup, their worst in 80 years or something like that. So he's like, you know what? I'm not going to play for Germany anymore. Screw you guys. I'm the hero when we win. I'm the scapegoat when we lose, so... I'm gone. Good luck.
Just quit.
And just now, like thanks that. For plugging my headphones in.
I just realised, I just looked down and realised you've been sitting there all episode. You've been sitting there for 41 minutes.
So I had my ear out.
We do the mic check before we do this.
Dude, you haven't even opened your eyes yet, mate.
That's just because Caden was talking about soccer. He just went to sleep.
I think it's because Saturday.
Don't deflect on me because you can't even know when your headphones are on.
CTE test. For the win.
Yeah, CTE.
Thanks, Caden, man. Thanks for popping in again, mate. We really appreciate you coming in at the last
can
minute.
Can we, because the listener question, could it also lead into an uppercut or another uppercut?
Yeah.
Can he ever stay on two for hurting someone?
Caden.
I'll see you about this today, actually.
Like hitting someone with a typewriter?
I was going to say.
A typewriter.
And just hitting with
typing
a bing,
aggressively
ding.
Or something.
Yeah.
Slamming people
with
in the paper.
Lock on. Caps lock on and just.
Oh, or you hear a pen click, click.
And then, well, the pen is mightier than the sword, they say. I will pop something in there for Caden when we all get right, to the uppercut right, later on. Right. Who knows? We might be high fiving someone.
Nah.
No?
We might.
Well,
be.
We might. We get aggressively right a thank
maybe
you.
Maybe we high five the guy who invented penicillin for Steve.
Jesus. He cops it when he's not here.
He cops it when he's here.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow.
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-O-Rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right. Well, the only UFC... there hasn't even really been a big one. Like the next big one's Poirier and
Eddie Alvarez,
which will be a cracker.
I went and John Jacek's on that undercard.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. So we had one from Germany on the weekend, UFC Fight Night 134 from Hamburg. It was Anthony Smith versus the legend in Shogun Hua. Now, Anthony Smith, he'd actually had 43 MMA fight. So he's been around.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me either. He's been around for a little while. So he's 30 wins and 16 losses. So he's a very experienced guy. For light heavyweight, he's
30 and 16 from 43 fights.
He's 30 and 13.
CTE
is in. Duke didn't pick that up, so no. He's in the same boat.
I don't do maths good. Or speak good.
So for a light heavyweight, he's 6'4", so that's pretty big. It's Duke's height, but his reach is 197 centimetres or so. He's a really tall, long guy, and he can crack. Now, Shogun, he's been around forever, but he's only 36 years old. His prime was probably 2005, and he won the 2011, he won the UFC light heavyweight belt, but he only had it for one fight when he came up against Red Hot John Jones. Now, Anthony Smith in his last fight knocked out Rashad Evans in 53 seconds. The legend ass-kicking tour continued by knocking out Shogun in 58 seconds with an elbow. He was out on his feet on the cage. I watched it at 6 o'clock this morning live. It was awesome. Obviously, Shogun well and truly over the hill, but still a very experienced guy.
They were talking about giving Shogun a title shot against Cormier.
Was he really in the mix?
Well, because he's on a 4-fight win streak, and it's like, keep DC busy, a winnable fight, a big name.
Yeah.
And so they were like,
puts a line through that.
And light heavyweight is top. It's very weak at the top.
Yeah.
And so
John Jones is out. Cormier is doors open, heavyweight. Gustafsson's
doors open, mate.
Yeah, I'll get in there, eh? To the top 10, to the top 10 of the US, top 5 of the UFC.
It's good to have a goal.
Yeah. Well, Gustafsson, he's been hurt as well.
Yeah, just got a minor injury.
Did you guys see DC's post on Instagram?
Yeah, paying out Alexander. He said, we're never going to fight again. What happened? He goes, you pulled out from a fight injured, and then you called out someone.
Yeah, your attitude is terrible, all this sort of stuff. I've lost heaps of respect.
He gave him the big brother talk.
Yeah.
And we're never going to share the octagon again.
Jesus was stern talking to, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Cormier. And just quickly on some boxing news. Joe Parker is taking on Dillian White. Now, Joe Parker's coming off a decision loss to AJ.
Yep.
It's his first defeat, and he's the only man to go the distance with Anthony Joshua. Taking on Dillian White, who just knocked out Lucas Brown, the Australian, the biggest puncher I've ever shared the ring with in a round 5 KO. It's on July 28 in the O2 Arena for the vacant WBO International belt. And also Dillian White's WBC silver title. Now, Dillian actually fought Anthony Joshua. So they share a common opponent 3 years ago. And I was the first guy to really rock him badly, but gassed himself trying to get for the finish. But man, Dillian in his last fight against Luke looked phenomenal. I don't know if it was just a great stylistic matchup or whatever, but he really impressed me. And I'm actually picking him for the upset win.
Okay.
I reckon this is going to be his coming out party. I think Joshua Parker is a great matchup for him. And just speaking of common opponents, I actually share a common opponent with Dillian White. He's had a few kickboxing fights and he fought a guy. I came off mic, but I fixed it.
Yeah, no, it was good. We
share a common opponent called Daniel Sam, who he was a monster British guy who dropped me when I first fought in Romania. I came back to knock him out because I'm a champ. And another interesting fact.
Because I'm the man.
he's 30 years old. He's 30 years old and has a 17-year-old son. Gee, so what a legend. I'll just finish that
do
up
the
there.
Math.
It wasn't wasting time.
I just did the math.
Mate, he had a kid 7 years before the age of I kissed a girl. What a legend.
But imagine, you knocked him out.
He could literally almost be at school with his kid.
Mate.
That's ridiculous.
That's insane. So he's actually come up rough, obviously.
Pun intended. He's
have a good day at primary school, son. I'm going to high school.
He's 30 years old, mate. He's in his prime. I reckon he's going to be the next big name in world boxing. So you heard it here first, folks, and that's a wrap.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
All right, boys. Well, this is a good one. We've alluded that we were going to talk about this. Marcus on the email has said everyone's blowing up over the bunker in the NRL and Todd Greenberg. Do you think they both need to go? Let's
Caden, get the typewriter out,
let's
man.
Let's let Mr. Sport from the Canberra Times, Caden Helmers, field this one first, mate. What do you think?
Well, the bunker is a waste of money, I think. The amount of money that they spent on it to
get... 2.1 mil.
I was supposed to get consistency with every decision because every decision was coming from the same people every week. And it just doesn't happen. It's
people
just
are idiots.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Who's
people
in
are
the
just
bunker?
Potatoes.
Why can't they put like ex?
They do, mate. There is an ex footy player, and there's ex officials and an ex footy player in there as well, all the time.
Because that's what they're trying to do with the UFC: get ex fighters there to get some judging, bit of consistency with the judging. Yeah. But they've already got ex footy players in there, and it's still not.
But
working.
Again, everyone's got their own interpretation of what's right and wrong, I guess. Mm.
And the worst thing is that if you get technology is killing it a bit. You break it down and. You just see you slightly touch the line or what, you know.
It does kill it.
It kills it a bit.
Yeah.
But they got that off the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Because each game was like, well, there's so much money on the line. But each game takes like probably 4 or 5
Do you know what? You look back to days like David Manson, Bill Harrigan, those guys. Yeah. Do you know what? Occasionally they got it wrong. And no human is ever going to referee a game 100% perfect all the time. So you do get those howlers occasionally. But it seemed back then just... You know, they'd get a decision wrong and the game just sort of flowed and it just went on.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's 9,000 cameras at every different angle, I don't know. I think it just needs to go back to one ref because when they're with the test this year, when you've got one ref on field with his interpretation, you've got a pocket ref that's got different interpretations, it just seems to screw it right up.
Well, you know, the other interesting thing that I think is that you can officiate a sport like look at the NBA. Hmm. You don't hear about many, you know, bad ref calls in the NBA or even in the NFL. They've got it down to such a fine art. Like, they've got some work to do, clearly, like, with the system. Like,
well, so is the system's broken. Soccer too. I mean, that VAR and the World Cup came in for a lot of issues over the World Cup. So I reckon one ref on the field, the two touchies, and I would keep an in-goal touch judge.
Yeah,
as well.
I think
that was much better when they put in-goal judges in.
He just stays there the whole game.
They stay in there the whole game and they look for grounding and things like that. Yeah. Whereas back in the day, there was no in-goal judge.
So if it's just like possibly a forward pass, it's just the referee's discretion. The one referee's discretion. Let the game flow a bit more.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they don't use the TV, although then they screwed it up like they did on the weekend. So, I don't know. It just seemed, and it seems like Todd Greenberg doesn't want to be told anything too. So there's a lot of people that basically are really, really upset with Todd Greenberg.
Who was the old guy before Greenberg?
So that he was...
Gallup?
David Gallup.
And did he go to soccer?
Yeah, he did. At soccer.
How much would he be loving soccer? It's just so much easier for him.
No one even cares about this sport.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's too much technology, and it is ruining the game. It really is.
Yeah, and Greenberg, he's got to come under fire because at the start of the season he was like, "Yeah, we're going to clean up the game. Refs are going to blow a lot of penalties until the players finally learn." Yep. And round 13 came, and he's like, "Well, the refs have been nitpicking too much. Like, we can't afford to do this. People are turning off, and all this sort of stuff." And it's like, well, what do you want?
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Contradicting yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that first Origin game was refereed fantastic. Yeah. That first Origin game. If every NRL game was refereed like that, I think people would be a lot happier.
And Bill Harrigan's, is he in the box? He's heavily involved, isn't he? Or he used to be or something?
No, he used to train the refs and do all that stuff, but he's signed to Triple M, so he's on air every weekend at Triple M calling football, but he gives it to him. Jesus, he gives it to him.
It all brings up a pretty interesting thing. Like, what do you guys reckon about a captain's call? Like we have in cricket where you can review something. If, say, for the Raiders on the weekend, they're like, well, that pass wasn't forward. Can we check that?
And you get X amount per game or something.
Yeah, yeah, well, what are they getting?
One or two per game. Yeah, yeah.
They get two in cricket.
Well, hell yeah.
Well, didn't they? Especially actually, they trialled that in the 20s, didn't they? Two or three years ago, they trialled that in the 20s in the NRL.
How's it going to be different? Like, if you got a video, they've made a call based upon a video that they've just watched, and then you go, I don't think that's right. They're just
not
watch
so much for that, but like the forward pass one, so that wasn't ruled on a video.
Okay.
Like that was just
if it's a non-video, you can say. So it's like tennis.
Yeah.
Nah, I think that was in.
Yeah,
let's go to the video.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
They did it in the under-20s a couple of years ago. Yeah.
I thought you meant back in the 20s. Like,
no, it was the under-20s, and it actually worked quite well. So
yeah,
I don't know why they don't give it a crack.
Yeah, you might as well. Like there was a Knights and Dragons game, I think, 2 years ago. They trialled it. Why not have another crack in the next couple of weeks and see how it goes? And if it's all sweet, then put it in for next year.
Yeah. I think that'd go a long way to solving a lot of the issues and the grievances of fans. And there's going to be plenty of games over the next couple of weeks, Para, Cowboys, things like that aren't going to have any bearing on the comp, at all. So use those games to trial that stuff. But I think the bunker needs to go. But you know, how many times have KFC been told their logo is going to be flashed on the screen during the game? Because that's what happens.
That's the main issue.
So, who knows? Marcus, fuck them both off. I reckon. Get rid of Todd Greenberg and piss off the bunker.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
Season 3, episode 13, or episode 60 overall for those counting along at home of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to the Butcher Shop in Kayleen. We're just about done, boys. Payos will be back next week, unless he gets stopped at the border leaving Vietnam, which could happen. Do you see this week? I saw a story on Saturday that the inspiration behind the movie Good Morning Vietnam, Adrian Cronow, the character played by Robin Williams, he actually passed away on Saturday in the States at 79. So that was an actual true story.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Obviously, a fair bit was probably changed by Hollywood, as they do. But he passed away at 79. So there you go. But Payos, I don't know if him in Vietnam is a good thing. From what I've heard of other mates that have been there.
Where'd you say it was?
Ho Chi Minh City.
Ho City.
Oh, Steve Payos.
He just saw Ho and I want to go there.
Boys, well, we're not going to give the NRL an uppercut because we just spoke about them in our listener question.
And after a 40-minute off-air deliberation, we finally come to a decision.
Well, that was only because Duke fell asleep.
We are the NRL bunker. This has been a disaster.
It has, hasn't it? But no, we've decided, and it's not an uppercut this week.
It's not an uppercut. It's not an armbar. It's not a Payos bitch slap, and it's not a Scotty hit over the head with a guitar.
Yep.
Kayon's going to give him a stern typing to.
A stern typing to. So that's going to be the only sound effect this week. Ben.
Yeah,
that's
and
all
it's
you want.
But it means business. Right. Will Caps Lock is on.
Caps Lock. Will the typewriter be thrown at the individual?
I'm open to
that. I think we
that's
should.
A bit extreme.
So is this individual.
Already ruining their reputation in the paper.
Caden, who are we going to give a stern typing to this week, mate?
To the great Elon Musk.
Yeah. What was his story last week? He just sort of
he should have said
blew
that.
Up.
His stock did drop a little bit.
Yeah, massively.
Just a touch.
He went from being real cool to
he went from
cool.
trying to save a whole bunch of Thai kids that the whole world was watching
to calling one of the rescuers a pedo because they wouldn't use his submarine that he sent them.
I'm Team Musk, but yeah.
You don't call someone a pedo. Like, if I was that guy, and if he's not a pedophile,
I'll tell you what.
If he is,
mate,
well, then I sit
corrected. I'll tell you what. If I want to get insulted like that in front of the world, I would like it to be done by Elon Musk because I'm going to Sizzler.
I would not want to be
called. I'm rich.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if this man is not a rock spider, I'd be suing the pants off Elon Musk.
Yeah, or if he isn't, hasn't been convicted.
Yeah, but anyway, like you don't call a rescuer. The whole world was watching those kids in that Thai cave.
Yeah.
You don't come out when you've got more money than bloody anyone and call a guy a pedo.
Basically, Iron Man called someone a pedo
pretty
on
much
social media.
Is what's happened, yeah. So anyway, Caden, a stern
warm the fingers
two.
Up, man.
Are you ready, son?
We'll do a few cracks.
Yeah.
All right, take it away. How was that, Benny?
Good.
well, we showed him.
We sure did. Allegedly, Mr. Musk, if you are listening. That's it for us this week. As we said, Payos will be back next week. Any major biff on in the coming week, lads?
Alvarez and Poirier, but is that this weekend or the weekend after?
I don't think that's this weekend.
They have been spreading their shows out a bit more than they have the last couple of years. Right. I think they've spread themselves a little bit thin and the pay-per-view numbers have been down for really good cards. So I think they're trying to get a bit more quality over quantity now.
July the 29th. So what's that?
That's this coming weekend.
On this weekend.
Well, the countdown show will probably be out when we get home.
Yeah, we'll be able to... Poirier... Jose Aldo's fighting Jeremy Stephens. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, that's a cracker.
That's a cracker fight.
Well, we'll talk about that. So, we'll find out.
Who are you picking for that?
Stephens.
KO?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Very nice.
That's awesome.
Right, well, we'll talk about that. We'll find out if Ben got a blue belt. We'll find out if you won.
Spoiler alert, there's no blue belt.
What if I win the whole comp, keeping in mind I'm undefeated in jiu-jitsu competition against like a whole bunch of dads? But
I literally made sure that the other white belt we train with that I know can take Ben down, he's coming. So
you're going to take me down off the wall, man.
So I don't
there's no wall.
There's no... It's, oh yeah, I made it sure it's going
to
be hard.
So what time is this on for anyone that's listening to the podcast? When do we come out and watch you guys?
I have no idea.
So Saturday?
I'm just showing up at the AIS at some stage.
At the AIS.
Yeah, the AIS. So all right. If you're bored, come watch some guys hug each other.
Get my blue belt, man.
Nice. Sounds like and a on that note, we'll say a big thank you to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen, for sponsoring whatever this was. I'll say get a big black dog up you.
I'll say see you next Thursday. Don't miss me too much, Cameron. Don't come back, Payos.
Don't miss.
What a jerk.
Don't come back,
coming
Edwards.
Coming off two wins, turns into Elon
Boo
Musk.
Words. You're a pedo, man.
Edwards. I'd like it. From now on, we go reverse order, I think.
Yeah.
You can't be trusted.
You're a pedo.
Don't miss me too much, Kimbra.
Don't come back, Edwards or Pales.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.